Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
In this show, we're going to dive deep into flips, wholesales, holding rentals, and creatively structuring deals.
So that we can show you how you can achieve that lifestyle of freedom that you desire. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show with Noah and Jeff. Today, we have our friend Ryan Bulldog with us. Ryan is located in Kennebunk, Maine, which is... You probably don't know where that's at because I don't know where that's at, but I can tell you it's right south of Portland, Maine, and he is absolutely crushing it. He has built a huge portfolio. He just crossed the 100-door mark in his rental portfolio, so we're definitely going to dive into that. Ryan is with Maine Multifamily, and he's just absolutely crushing it. Ryan, thanks for being with us here today, brother.
All right, man. I appreciate it. So glad to be with both of you guys. See you guys again, too.
Absolutely, man. So we always like to start off with, so a little backstory. We met Ryan in Maui. He is a one rad dude, one of the funniest guys in the room, but also one of the smartest guys in the room. He knows his lane and he sticks in it, which I think is really impressive. There's a ton of us, especially the young kids like us, who are like, ooh, let's do this. Ooh, let's do this. Ooh, let's do this. And Ryan just got his path and does his thing. So let's dive into, why'd you get started in real estate? What kind of motivated you to get going in that direction?
Well, I always wanted a way to make money without using my man hours to do that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of freshly single dad, and just kind of figured out like I got to do something. So I started like an engineering group, but that really hadn't kicked off yet. And then one of my employees actually turned me on to like Bigger Pockets. And then I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm going to start doing rentals. And then within 2 months, I bought my first 4-unit. So I moved me and my kids into that 4-unit, you know, from a house and doing that for 10 years. We took it and we moved into an in-town lot, 4-unit, no driveway, barely a backyard, and said, all right, this is how we're going to do it. And then I just wanted something, because even in my engineering business, we make really good money, but it's all based on selling man hours.
Yeah.
So it can get pretty exhausting, or, you know, that rat race of, all right, we need to be billable. We need people on the road, selling hours. So I wanted something that, you know, you made money when you slept, you know, something that paid you, even if it wasn't based on, oh, I didn't put 40 hours this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of the big motivating factor of finally being able to have freedom, you know, time freedom, and, you know, kind of have something to leave to my kids or show them a path that wasn't necessarily shown to me.
Yeah.
I like that, man. So that was not a very long time frame from when you decided that you wanted something different, being turned on to Bigger Pockets, to all of a sudden just jumping in. What were some of the things that you did to make yourself a little bit more comfortable with going all in? And then I also wanted to applaud you on being willing to sacrifice the materialistic comforts of going from a single family home and having space and a driveway and a garage and a yard, and putting yourself through that, because I think that's what holds most people back, as they say. It's really just this mental block of like, nope, I could never do that. My wife and I would never move back into a single family or a multifamily unit. Yeah. We've lived in a single family home for 10 years. And it's like, okay, if you're not willing to sacrifice, then don't expect to get the fruits of that labor, because that's what it takes.
Yeah, it was big. And it was a little easier that I had just broken off from with their mother. And I was single and I was living in a friend's house, and you know, I was paying like $1,700 a month with all the utilities.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went and moved into a 4-unit, and now I'm making $800 a month.
Yeah.
You know, so that sort of swing, that kind of heavily weighed it. And then as far as jumping in, once I kind of decide something, I just kind of go for it. And then it's just, you know, grit and balls, baby.
Yeah.
You know, just all of a sudden just got to jump in and do it.
Yeah.
I get an idea and I can get jacked up about it, and then get other people excited about it, and then just kind of go after it. But I don't do it blindly.
Right.
Like, I analyzed hundreds of deals. You know what I mean? Like, I made my own little spreadsheet that I can do a deal in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, just quick of like, all right, this is going to cash flow 20%, or this one's going to, you know, that sort of thing. So everything that came on the market, I analyzed. And another things I would do, I would look at Craigslist and then, or whatever, and see what are people asking for rent.
Yeah.
Okay. How quickly did those stay on Craigslist, Facebook, or whatever? And then be like, okay, $1,200 a month. Boom. I've seen three on this week and they're no longer there.
Yeah.
Or $1,800 a month, and those have been there for, you know, 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then kind of analyze to figure out what the market rents were with never really having paid actual rent in the past 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how I did it. And then I said, all right, makes sense. I was going to look at a 2-unit, and then all of a sudden I was like, well, why would I do that if I can do an FHA on a 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and just jumped in on the 4-unit as much as I could.
Nice. So you bought that with FHA financing. Did you find that on market?
It was on market. Okay. And it was before, and everyone still at that time thought it was crazy for, I even at that time, 4 years ago in our market, I paid 25 over asking.
Okay. Wow.
Based on numbers.
Yeah.
Not based on what comps were.
Right. Yeah.
Because I knew I wanted it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I jumped in, even that. Almost all my houses, 17, 18, 19, when I bought a 4-unit a year or whatever,
yeah,
I paid over asking to get
okay.
them.
Wow.
You know what I really like about that whole progression is you paid $25,000 more than you know you should have for that first deal. But I hear this a lot, and I actually really love this quote. You're never going to get rich on your first deal, but you will get rich because of your first deal. Mm. And like, yeah. So how, you went from a 4-unit to now 100 units, and you wouldn't have been able to go to the 100 units had you not started.
Correct. 100%. And I knew it was worth $450 if I ran it on the rents.
Yeah.
I mean, the rents back then were like $4,200. And yeah. It was, they were asking $330. Mm. So I was like, all right, $355 all day.
Yeah.
I'm first one in. I got it. And I used a 401k loan for my down payment.
Yeah.
So I didn't use any money. And then within 6 months, that was paid off from the cash flow while living there. And then now it's worth like $550.
Let's talk about that 401k loan for just a moment, because that might be really helpful for someone that doesn't know that they can tap into that.
Yeah. So on a 401k loan, it's, you know, you're basically paying yourself back.
Yeah.
So with my company, and I think the limits are you can borrow up to $50,000 or half of your balance, whichever's higher.
Yeah.
So you basically, it takes a loan out. So that balance is no longer in the 401k earning money.
Yeah.
It's kind of off to the side. And then you pay yourself back. Mine, as an example, is 5.5%.
Okay.
That's what the loan is. It's like a 60 month loan.
Yeah.
5.5%. You can pay it off as early as you want. And the interest just goes back to your 401k.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like I've used it twice, you know, for the first two places. So I borrowed like 14 or 15K from that. That's all I needed for a 4-unit that was making, you know, 4,000 in rents.
Yeah. With the FHA, that's incredible.
It's insane. So yeah. So then, like I said, you can pay it off early, but you can only take out so much. And then one thing that I did find out, because I tried to buy another one right away, is I paid it off. And then I tried to get the 50 grand back out. However, it's like whatever your last 12 month balance is, you have to subtract that from the 50. So say I took out 15 and then I paid it right off.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I'll get 50 back. And it'll be a net 35 or whatever. And then it ended up being like, oh, you can only take out 35 because you had a balance of 15 in the last 12 months.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So my second deal, I was scrambling to find money.
Yeah.
But it did.
what was the time? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for that second deal, was that another owner-occupied kind of house hack situation, or was that just an investment property that you bought?
That was actually just an investment property. I'd actually lived there in this first 4-unit, moved to Kennebunk, where I live now, in my forever home. And then this other 4-unit came on, and I think I was in Florida at the time, and I had my realtor walk through it, and he says, yep, buy it. And I said, okay. So I just... I threw in an offer, you know, I think a little bit over asking on that one.
Yeah.
And then landed that one too, without kind of ever seeing it.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. What a powerful tool for people listening to this who haven't got started in real estate, and you're in like the corporate world and you're wondering, how do I get out of this? Think about leveraging what you have access to before getting out of that. Right. So that I've never had a job other than working for myself. So this is the first I'm hearing of a 401k loan, which people may laugh and be like, you're an idiot. But I've never worked for anybody, so I don't even really know the basics of a 401k because it never mattered to me. But I have a ton of friends who would love to be able to buy a rental property. They don't think it's available to them. But if they have a 401k, I know many people that work in tech here in Boise, and they've been doing it for 15, 20 years. They got to have a decent 401k saved up. So then you're talking about now they can loan against this to get a property. That's a pretty powerful tool for people.
I had the money in 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Another thing I just thought about is say you weren't in real estate. So like you're not in real estate. You find out you have access to a 401k loan. Say you're like, dude, I could pull out $100,000. If you were to go to an experienced flipper, and this is actually our business model, we take money from private people who want to invest in real estate but don't have the time or the know-how.
Yep.
And we pay like an average of like a 10% return annualized. Yep. So if they had their money out for a year with us and the 401k is charged 5%, but yeah, we're willing to pay 10, or someone else in your market is willing to pay 10, or more if you negotiate more, that's a double. What would you say? I don't know the math on it,
but it's a great return, especially on money that's just sitting there.
No, it's a cool way. Passive way to access
that money that you can't access because of taxes and, you know, whatever, not being able to touch it till you're 59 and a half.
That's incredible.
It's a powerful thing. Instead, I've used it twice.
Yeah.
So at what point did you go from being like, hey, you know what, it's cool to own these couple rentals, to being like, no, I'm going to grow this to a point of like actually owning a massive portfolio and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, when I first got started, my thing was like, all right, I'll buy 1 4-unit a year. That's all I want. You know, I was listening to the Bigger Pockets stuff and they were talking about no money down and BRRRs. And I'm just like, that's too risky. That's craziness. Mm. I'm going to buy one and just be happy with it. So I was doing that. So the next one I bought, you know, it was like 360 for a 4-unit, you know, that's 25% down.
Yeah.
You know, that's like $90,000+ you need down. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm broke. So then I went another 8 to 12 months of, okay, finally start scrapping together money, paying off this 401k loan and all that to be able to buy another one in 2019. And that one, I kind of burned out a bit. And then I'm like, all right, I don't want to just, it just doesn't make sense. So then it just kind of, the way things kind of progressed from there was like, all right, I want to do something. I started looking at other markets to do BRRRs in that weren't as, that, you know, I could buy them for much less than in my market instead of 4 units being 400, you know, I can get a duplex for 80 or something like that. Yeah. You know, so I went in that sort of market. And it kind of all started, I went out to Hawaii in the early 2020 for like a honeymoon. I just happened to message Brandon on Instagram, and then he ended up meeting me for coffee.
So awesome.
So that, so I was like, oh, we sat for like 2 or 3 hours doing, drinking coffee, talking real estate. And that kind of got me jacked up. I'm like, oh, wow, I could leverage something like that and be able to just meet somebody like that.
Yeah.
And then I joined a mastermind, which actually then was, I think it was David Green's. And then the first guy I talked to was like, I'm like, so what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to do 10 BRRRs this year. I'm like, how do you do 10 homes in a year? I'm like, I heard that on podcasts, but you know,
never met like, oh, life.
Yeah. And then he kind of really explained the BRRRR model to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. I could kind of do that. Well, fuck, I'm going to do that. You know? So then all of a sudden I went and got all the HELOCs on all these properties all lined up.
Yeah.
Found a market that I knew really well from where I grew up. That was a quarter of the price of where I was now. Then I got hooked up with a property manager, realtor, found my core people there.
Yeah.
And then I fought my first deal there, and it was like, holy crap. I bought it for like $49,000. And then it appraised for, you know, 140 after putting like, you know, 20 or 30 grand into it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's got like 1800 a month in rents, and I'm like, all my money back.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to a partner friend of mine who we used to work together, and I was trying to use him for money. And then I was talking about the numbers. He's like, I want in. And I'm like, all right, man, let's do it. So we piled both of our money together.
Yeah.
And then, so we did like 6 BRRRs in like 4 months.
That's awesome.
You know, picking up, I don't know, 12 units or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like all of a sudden that mindset. And then we saw all that money come back into our pocket, and it was like, all right, I want, you know, this is now getting, now it's starting to be fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like once that clicks and you realize it's a game.
Yeah. You start winning a bunch. You're like, oh yeah, baby. Yeah, this is like, fun.
Okay. This isn't so risky as much as if you know the rules.
Yeah.
If you know how you got to do it. It became more of a, my wife would call it an addiction, but now I'm like, you know,
like, so would mine.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, take the foot off the gas. And so it was like, all right, now I want 42 units or something like that. And then I joined another group, which was like a coaching group. And my coach is like, well, join the Facebook group. I'm like, I got enough Facebook groups. I don't want to be in a Facebook group. So I joined, and then the first thing that popped up was 41 single family homes for sale.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. So I jumped on that, and we flew to Tennessee, me and my partner, blind, never saw him. Like, all right, we'll buy him. Screw it. And then we got there, and they turned out to be kind of garbage. Well, no, that like the seller and the realtor said that they were going to do all this work, and the guys we were working with got to see a couple of the units and then said, oh, they'll all be like that by the time you get here.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then by the time we got there, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So it was like, all right, that's it. You guys are done. And so we took our money, and the guys we were working with were like, hey, man, that was BS, and we really like you guys. We just saw a 72-unit in Kentucky. If you guys want to go look at it, you guys are in. So we were like, all right, it's like a 3-hour drive from, we flew to Tennessee, let's go to Kentucky. So we drove up there, we walked around, we're like, all right, let's do it. So like, we're like, what's the worst that happens? You know what I mean? If it goes horribly bad, we lose all our money. We got to work an extra year or two. That's the way we looked at it. We both are director. He's a director of engineering. I'm an engineering. I run an energy business. You know, it's like, we just have to work a little longer than we wanted to.
Yeah.
But that thing's kind of been a home run. And then since then, we've kind of kept doing these burrs in this other market. And then just again closed on another 9-unit last week there with 100% financing. I've got 10 that I'm maybe putting under contract this week.
Nice.
And I'm talking to somebody that has more than my entire portfolio right now.
Wow. That's awesome.
So yeah.
Let's jump to that, to 41 units in Tennessee real quick. So that one, you guys got it under contract, or did you guys actually buy the asset and then have to sell out of it?
No, we put it under contract and had the whole due diligence, everything lined up.
And then so you went out and you're like, hey, this isn't lining up with the contract. Let's switch. And here's what I want to point out about this story is like, people could listen to this story and they could be like, okay, well, the 41 units didn't work out. And then he just got lucky with 72 units. But I would argue, because I've been in this business long enough and had my own stories and hear stories like this all the time, that this is where, like, this isn't just luck. This is where you're putting yourself in the right space, your preparation meets opportunity, and things happen. So somebody could hear this story and be like, wow, he got lucky and got 72 units in Kentucky just because of some relationship. That's not luck. That's you were putting your energy and your effort out there. You were getting surrounded by people who sell single family packages. And because of that, you got in this little relationship, this network that allowed for this opportunity to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that you just went in this story, you probably had, when you bought the 72 units, you had what, like 16 to 20 units at the time, if I'm kind of keeping track.
About that. Yeah, 20 something units. Yep.
To think that you could jump from 20 units and then grab 72 and be just sub 100, just by a little bit that quick, that's incredible. Let's jump into how much time did you spend in like kind of underwriting that 72 units in Kentucky? What those look like, all single families, multifamilies? Did you do value adds and burr out, and kind of walk us through that deal structure and how long that took for you to set that up and then actually stabilize those assets?
Yeah, I mean, that was, we just bought that this year.
Okay.
So that was in, I can't remember if it was March, April, some of that time frame.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the guys we're hooked up with, like me and my partner with another partners, and they are kind of the boots on the ground.
Nice.
You know, and we're basically learning from them kind of too as we go.
Yeah.
So like you said, that whole thing, me and my partner always say, it's like that all happened because we said yes.
Yeah.
We said yes to the first deal, and we said yes. I mean, I talked to a couple other of my friends who were, they're like, you're going to invest with these guys on 72 units in Kentucky. I would never do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, we said yes. And, you know, was it risky? Kind of. Like I said, we didn't have as much hands-on on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're more of, I said, a lot of the equity and basically helping do the due diligence. We've been to site a couple times.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, the day-to-day and setting everything up, our other partners are handling the majority of it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, no, it's been absolutely phenomenal. And they are like rock stars. And I'm extremely fortunate and felt, you know, hooked up with them at the time we did. And again, it happened again because we were like, okay, yeah, we're in.
You're willing
yeah.
to
we'll
put
do
yourself
that. We'll take
in
a risk.
Yeah, you're willing to put yourself in unfamiliar situations. I feel like successful people become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's 100%
it. That's exactly what you just did there. What did you end up acquiring that 72 unit for? What was the purchase price on it?
It was like just over two.
Just over two mil. And then what yeah. is that? What are the gross rents if it was 100% occupied?
It's already at 90 something.
That's right.
Yeah. Jeez. So we started the refi 2 weeks ago last week. I think we got the occupancy permits in September.
Okay.
And then the last talk we had was last week and it was 67 out of 72 were occupied.
Wow.
So now we're doing the refi, hoping to start the cash out by the end of the year.
There we go.
Yeah. So it'll be a 72 unit burr essentially.
That's incredible.
With all the money out.
Are they all pretty similar houses, like same size?
Well,
are they pretty?
Yeah. They're basically two bed, one bath, 800 square foot.
Yeah.
You know,
that's incredible.
Class CB housing, 12 units essentially.
Okay.
All in a complex with a common area, its own little parking lot and laundry on site.
That's perfect.
Yeah, they found it, you know, incredibly. It was Nigel Geisinger and David Downs. These guys are awesome. Yeah, they found it and they bought it with basically all needed to be rehabbed.
Yeah.
Had 72 water heaters already there, ready to go. 72 HVAC units ready there, ready to go. All the carpeting, paint, all that stuff was bought with the deal. So, you know, with all the supply chain issues, if we wouldn't have had that stuff now, there's no way we would be where we're at right
That's true. Yeah, you guys blitzed through that.
Yeah, so they did a phenomenal job, you know, finding, negotiating, and, you know, just asset and construction management.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kind of blew that out of the water.
Do you know what your kind of, what your projected appraisal is on that for now that they're stabilized and occupied?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be substantial. I think it should be five or above.
Yeah, that's incredible.
What did you guys spend on the rehab, and then what were the rents before, and what are the rents now that things are stable?
Well, there's no rents. There was like eight units filled.
Oh really? When you bought it?
So you bought like completely vacant.
Yeah,
that's almost better though.
So,
if you're gonna turn over
so,
72
yeah, so
units and
they're
ready to go.
I think they average like 700 a month.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Down there. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at, like where I live, rents are, I mean, compared to Ms. Bodunk, it's small Maine,
yeah.
But the rents are double, triple that.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at things like in the Southeast, a lot of those states are like the minimum wage is $7. Like up where I live, it's like 12 or 13 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking like the Midwest and you guys invest, that's probably the same thing with the minimum wage. And I can just see that starting to go up to $11, you know, as they start passing that.
Yeah.
Not just that rent that people can afford at that tier is just going to increase over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As their pays are just going up and up.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad strategy to identify states that are really low on their minimum wage requirement and then to start buying single families or whatever multifamily there with the idea that, I mean, minimum wage has been increasing in every state, and then federally they're going to be implementing stuff. And if you start then to get up to 12, if you think like $12, ours is actually crazy. Idaho is $7.25, which doesn't make sense because we have $500,000 homes that we flip. Like there's a big disparity. Nobody actually gets paid minimum wage here. McDonald's will hire you for like $15 or $17 an hour right now.
That's what it is right now.
They just haven't changed it. But if you think like, okay, I'm going to go and buy an area that has affordable housing at $7 is their minimum wage. If that gets increased to 12, which isn't that crazy to think, that's almost double income for a lot of these people making minimum wage. So if you're buying that lower income housing, those people can now afford a ton of more rent. And it sucks to think that way, but that's the way the world works is when minimum wage increases, so does the cost of all the goods surrounding it. So
yeah,
if you're 100%. Then your cap rate's just going to, your value based on your cap rate's just going to skyrocket. That's actually a cool little plan. I like that. Cool. Well, Ryan, I had the privilege of having Ryan in one of my small groups in Maui, and we talked about vision and why we do this. Talk about where you want to be at in like 5 years. And you don't have to go like super deep, but go as deep as you want, but kind of just how many units do you want? What does your lifestyle look like? And then what's the why behind putting in all this work and taking all this risk right now to get to where you're going to get in 5 years?
Yeah, I know. It's like the unit count is, you know, it's cool and stuff.
Yeah.
I think what I want is, you know, a certain level of basic financial freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to be able to live the lifestyle I live now, plus some, and then have money still left to invest or give.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then be able to kind of do with my time what I can. And not necessarily be tied to a desk or 40-hour billable hours, you know, things like yeah. that. And stay at the higher level stuff and just kind of vision. And then, I mean, ultimately, I could see, you know, being able to help other investors, being able to help people that, you know, aren't necessarily white collar, that come from money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be able to experience, you know, that freedom from not having to just grind it out to yeah. make the ends meet. Yep. You know what I mean? Because it can happen. You know what I mean? I think all of us are, the three of us are kind of living proof of, you know, I mean, I was the first person in my family to go to college.
Yep.
By the time I actually graduated, I was probably like the 12th. I was in there so long. you know.
First to start.
It was like, hey, look, Ryan can do it. I'm going to college yeah, too.
Exactly. Exactly. I come from a long line of mill workers and
yeah.
you know what I mean? And people that, you know, get a good job, benefits. You gotta have get that secure job.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that just that I don't know. I've never been a good employee. Let's
yeah.
just put it that way. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being, you know, you're going to do this and this and this. And
yeah.
I'm like, I want to do my own thing.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, and then be able to spend more time and be more present with my family.
Yeah. yeah.
Right yeah. now, I mean, like I said, this real estate thing, it's part-time.
Yeah.
But it's taken on a life of its own. And I still run a business, you know, an engineering yeah. thing, which is all consuming. So to be able to, you know, not have so much time tied to making money.
I like that.
To be able to, you know, to be able to just be more present with the people I'm with. And I'll be honest, the last year or so building this, like it has, you know, I haven't had a lot of time. I guess COVID affected it too for,
yeah.
for friends, for family.
Yeah.
It's just grindstone, like, you know, work.
Yep.
And then it's going to get properties at night and trying to figure out software or Buildium on the weekends. yeah. You know what I mean? Trying to get everybody in there and constantly analyzing deals, talking to so many sellers.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to get some of those systems in place and help other people grow through that. I've kind of enjoyed seeing people in the engineering group kind of grow up, you know, in that sense too.
Yeah.
We kind of teach all them as well, like financial smart, you know, independence.
Yeah. And, yeah. Smart.
You know, yeah. Make them read books and Rich Dad. And
I love it.
You know, stuff like that to get them thinking about that.
Yeah.
And one of my guys is going to be able to retire early because of he's our oldest, my first employee. And he's going to, I think he's like 60 now. He was planning on working to like 65, but he's, you know, he's going to be able to retire early because of how much money he's made in our group.
Yeah.
And how much our stock has catapulted in the past 5 years since yeah. he joined.
That's
so
awesome.
That's awesome too. You know, to be able to do that for people. I want to be able to do that for people in real estate or just in finance or business in general.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd be consulting with businesses and helping, you know, not necessarily nothing day to day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate managing. I hate that part of it. You know, I hate details.
Yeah.
I just want to set people in the right direction and, you know, give them some hope.
Yeah. yeah. Help cast a vision of what they could achieve because you have achieved what a lot of people want to achieve. So you're there. You can help them find that path a little bit easier. Hey, one of the things you sparked my memory of that we had a conversation on, you do some really cool things for people as far as like coaching goes, right? But it's pretty minimal and low key, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I just help some people out. I mean, it's through certain programs and things like that. You know, some people that struggle with addiction, things like that. You know, and then just via the trying to make more time for that, you know, it's for people that actually want it. Cause you go and you try to help people and you find out they don't really want to do anything that you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to kind of drop them and just be honest. Be like, all right, if we're not going to move forward with anything that we're suggesting here, then we're taking away from someone else that
yeah,
really
that
doesn't
will.
Want it.
Yeah. Cause
there's only so much time. So like my goal coming up is to, you know, how you guys use like Calendly and stuff like that
yeah.
to like now start time blocking.
Yep.
each week, like say Thursday from 1 to 3 is meet people for coffee or do phone calls with young investors. That sort of thing. And, cause I've got, I'm horrible. I mean, my schedule just gets, you know, all over the place, the three kids. And people always ask, hey, you want to get, can I pick your brain, coffee? And I'm like, yep, hit me up. And then I, you know, it's been, I've dropped a lot of those just because I just run out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to start like dedicating time for that. Cause it does, it, that, that does rejuvenate me to some extent.
No, it's fun. I mean?
To see people transform.
Yeah.
Whether it be struggling with, like I said, alcoholism, addiction, stuff like that, or financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think that's a responsibility of success, right? Yeah. So you become successful. Every single one of us here has had people that reached down to us and pulled us up in some way or another. And so I feel like it's actually our responsibility. It's our duty to reach back and pull other people up with us.
100%.
I do think there's the kind of catch 22 side. And I want to kind of hint at this for a sec is I 100% believe that's our duty. And I can't wait until I start having more time to do that. But one of the things that really frustrates me is I've had like 4 friends who have been like, "Hey, I got this house. I'm going to sell it. But should I keep it as a rental or should I do this or this?" And I write them an entire like real estate business plan. And I'm like, "Bro, if you do this, you'll have this cash flow. You can pull that out in the HELOC and then you can buy this." And I'm like, "This is awesome. I just got my friend to financial independence." And then 2 weeks later, like, "Yeah, I sold the house."
Hey, Jeff, I got a better idea. I know you're a real estate investor, but I think I'm making a better decision.
And I'm like, man, I get it. Like, everybody has to make their own decisions, but there's so much frustration that comes when you're like, I'm going to give back and I'm going to help and I'm going to spend. I dropped out of college. I didn't finish college, but, like, my college is real estate. Like, I study, I read, I listen to podcasts, and now it's almost gotten to the point where I'm almost a little bit jaded, and people ask me for real estate advice, and I'm just sending them, like, a link to 2 podcasts and a YouTube video. And then if they tell me, hey, I listen to this and I watch this, then I will invest time into you. But I have to protect my time as well and make sure that I'm not going to be over here at the tire kicker giving a full business plan because I've done it too many times, right?
100%. You have to like give them an assignment.
Yeah. Yep.
And if they come back, I'm like, all right, man, read Rich Dad Poor Dad. Or, and I'll even send them the book on Audible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or a book that I've found, and I'll be like, I'll gift it to you on Audible.
Yep.
Boom. Cause you can gift somebody and it doesn't cost you anything or whatever.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
If it's their first book they received, at least they used to. If it's their first book receiving, then I think it's free or something that. I'm not sure if they still do it, but yeah. And then if they, I'll be like, "Hey, did you listen to that book I sent?" "Oh no, I didn't." I'm like, "Oh, you're in the car like 3 hours a day, you know?" Yeah. And it's like, so you know, I mean, what else?
You can't commit a little bit of time to a better
future? Yeah. So then it's like, okay, yeah, I know not to invest in that. Or like you said, if you offer advice and they don't take it, you know, it's the attraction, not promotion.
Mm.
If you know what I'm saying, so if people are, they really want it, they'll come and get it from you.
Yeah.
But the more I dictate how they should do it, the less they'll do it.
That's really good.
So,
one of the first guys I ever reached out to in real estate, he had told me, "Don't." I'm gonna use better language. He basically just said, "Don't call me again until you've done the homework I'm giving you." And he asked me to listen to 80 episodes of a podcast. And most people would have taken offense at the way he talked to him, but I was like, no, you know what? He's protecting his time. He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there's 100 other people that tried to call him this week. So I listened to all 80 within like a 10-day period, called him back, and I was like, hey, I hit all of them. Here's the 5 things that would really help me. And guess what? He gave me all 5 things.
And look at where you are now.
Yeah, because I did the homework. I was willing to
You were
take,
hungry.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's an interesting thing to think about. If you guys are listening to the show and you're not in real estate yet, and you're hoping to get a hold of high level players, think about their time, right? Like, they're busy. If you try to reach out to Ryan, he's busy. He's running a full engineering firm. He's managing 100 rentals. He's constantly buying more deals. So how can you limit the amount of time he needs to invest into you? Come prepared, do your homework, have good questions that are meaningful and you're actually going to take action on, and then follow up with that person who helped you and let them know how their advice changed whatever it is that you're doing. Because that's rewarding for us. We want to hear about it.
Right. And then pay it forward.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And then pay it forward. Yeah. I love that. Man. Well, hey, man, in wrapping up, we always like to ask a couple of questions. What books are you reading? Obviously, Rich Dad Poor Dad seems to be an impactful one for you. What books got you kind of started in real estate, and what books do you recommend that other people read?
Yeah, Rich Dad. I mean, my kids know it by heart because I listen to. I'm in the car all the time, so I listen to that, and you know, I've listened to it probably a dozen times. And
yeah,
they know the voice, they know the stories. That and the cash flow quadrant to me is even better.
Okay,
from him.
Yeah,
but right now I haven't been listening to as much for like podcasts and real estate lately.
Yeah,
I've been doing more, you know, mindset or delegation type things.
Yeah.
So like there was one that I just listened to and read, The Big Leap.
Yeah.
And now the one that just came out, I'm partway through, which is hitting me right between the eyes, is, what is it? The Gap and the Gain.
Okay.
Hmm. If you guys heard that, it's the same guy that did the same two guys that did Who Not How.
Okay.
So which that book blew my, you know, that was amazing. That's finally how I started to be able to delegate some tasks.
Yeah.
Like engineering and things like that. So those two right now are kind of what I've been listening to back and forth. And it's all about like the big leap is that upper limit problem.
Yeah.
Like where you get to and you're like, oh, I don't deserve that much. And you knock yourself back down to a new level.
We should read
you know,
that.
Everybody. Like everybody does it in relationships. Like, we're too happy right now. Let me sabotage it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, holy, you know what I mean? That kind of like blew me away. Same thing with the gap and the gain. It's like, and that's kind of why I threw a post out yesterday. I started listening to it and I'm like, you know, yeah, all right. I thought when I hit 100 grand in income, that would be it. You know, then when I started my business unit, that was going to be it. And then when I got 3 rentals, that would be it. You know, and then once I hit 100 grand in rental income, that would, you know, and then 100 units and that would be it. You know, and then I haven't really acknowledged those accomplishments.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's 100 units, but most of it's with partners, so it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just acknowledge the fact that, give myself a break. And that's sort of what the gap and the gain is about. Like instead of when you're in the gap, they call it, it's like everything's negative. You're always comparing yourself to everyone. But when you're in the gain and gratitude mode, you know, you look back and be like, geez, 90 days ago, I never thought this way. Or last year, I never thought it was possible that I would have this much income, you know, rental units, engineering going well, you know what I mean? Family doing well, you know, and then just be appreciative of where you are rather than always looking at that next goal as if, oh, I'll only be happy when I get to that.
Yeah.
So that one's huge for me right now.
I love that. Noah's going to laugh at this, but The Big Leap is sitting on my dresser, which I say for every book.
You said that before?
But it is. The Big Leap is Josh Blankenship recommended to me in Maui, and I ordered it right there with them at the bar.
Having just a library is not as impressive as reading it, Jeff.
I've read the intro, so there's too many books, man. I like start one, I get a chapter in, and so you recommend another one.
At least put a crease in the binder.
Dude, throw it in your backpack and carry it around for a couple of days so it looks worn, man.
That's what I got like three that I'm like 2 chapters in, and I'm like, it's time to read, let's pick one.
Yeah, his wife wrote on the side, wash me.
Yeah.
I'm a podcast guy, man.
We got this house that's like this full library of absolutely crisp, perfect books. We're like, oh, very interesting.
They're still in the Amazon package. I just cut open so you could read what the book is on the side.
Yeah. Oh, man. Every one of them has cardboard in between.
I love it.
That's why Audible, man. That's why I do everything on Audible.
Audible's good.
Yep.
Well, brother, we really appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much for sharing your story and the progress and how you balance it all with, you know, also running a company at the same time. I think your why was impactful. I think people will benefit from hearing this show. Sometimes people want to reach out. What's the best way for them to get a hold of you if they do decide they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, that would definitely be, you know, Instagram.
Okay.
That's at Maine Multifamily. For those of you who don't know, Maine is a state. And it has an E at the end. So Maine Multifamily. No, that's where it's at. Yeah,
sweet.
We're still working on the business aspect, getting the website and all that going in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months.
Nice.
Cool. Well, we'll throw that in the show notes for them to get a hold of you. And we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, brother.
All right, great to see you guys. Hopefully I see you in a couple months.
Thanks, man. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Chasing Freedom Podcast with Noah and Jeff.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel in the show notes below. And if you ever want to get a hold of us, feel free to do it via our Instagrams. You can also follow us for our funny content on TikTok.